Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, Felicity Huffman back in the news. She's been out of jail about a little over a year now, right? You remember her. She spent 11 days in prison over the, paying off colleges and recruiters to get their kids into college. Colleges that they probably wouldn't have gotten into other than having a boatload of money to pay someone off. Yeah, she did 11 days in prison. She is out a little over a year, not new gig. She is going to be the star of a half-hour ABC comedy based on the life of Susan Savage, who was the owner of a AAA baseball team, the Sacramento River Cats. She's going to be, what they say, the unlikely owner of a minor league baseball team that she inherits after her husband's death. And, you know, what could be funnier than someone dying? Can't wait to see that. Anyway, let's find out what's going on around the world and in Washington, D.C., our good friend Bob Ney. Bob, thanks for taking time for us.
Well, thank you, Rick.
So, new comedy coming out. This is the reason I led with this, is this is what next year could look like.
What, 11 days in prison?
No, I didn't mention Donald Trump once.
Oh. Oh, actually, I thought about that today with Joe Biden reversing when he gets in executive orders.
Yeah.
I have a little prediction.
Well, let's hear. I'll tell you what I think.
And I was saying this today because a friend of mine was calling me today, and she was talking about this and that and executive orders and, you know, the new civil service thing that Trump did. And I told her, I will bet you that you do not hear a constant – you'll hear it once in a while because of the press, but you will not hear a constant – undid this executive Trump order today. You won't hear it. He will do things, and in general, some things will, you know, the press will pull forth. Trump had the executive order. I don't think that Joe Biden will sit there and do what Trump did for 4 years, which is Obama did this and Obama did that. I just don't think. I think for the most part, Biden will try to let the name just be down low.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I see him just going, you know, we're going to undo this. Executive order after executive order. Right. No tweets, no fanfare, no big signing ceremonies where we bring in people for photo ops. I don't see it.
I don't either.
I agree with you. And I saw this, I was looking on the Twitters and I saw this screen grab from a Fox News program earlier where they had shown Twitter activity between a certain period of time. I think it was November 2nd and November 16th, where Joe Biden didn't tweet out anything. And Donald Trump tweeted out 100 things. And I guess their argument was, Donald Trump's, more engaged and more vigorous. And I'm going, well, 100 lies as opposed to saying nothing. I'll take the saying nothing.
Well, and also Trump, as you know and I know, and I must say successfully, although it was his demise at certain points, but successfully used Twitter to basically, for the first time, I think, in modern history, bypass the media.
Yep.
Basically. He used it. And then the media, even the ones that didn't like him, would grab onto it because they would, he tweeted this today. He did that. And that's why he did it. And he used that totally to be his, press statement.
You give credit where credit is due. He was able to manipulate the system to his advantage, and he did.
Sure.
No, unquestioningly. But it comes back to this moment where I'm looking at what happens the day after he's no longer president. Does Twitter drop him from the platform?
Well, I believe he's going to have Trump TV. I think that's going to happen. Some version of it where he will have some people gathered together, maybe several thousand, and he'll have an issue which he'll promote forth. I mean, he's either going to do the Trump TV route or, frankly, he will just focus on business. But I think he'll do the Trump TV route. That's what I really think will happen with the $5.99 per subscriber, which will bring in about $17 million. And then I do predict he'll have a Mideast bureau, which, let's say the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia will pay big money to have.
No,
broadcast in Saudi Arabia.
Now, it's interesting you bring up Saudi Arabia, because I had a conversation with a Trump supporter who said, you know, not all of us are racist. And I said, no, I don't believe all Trump supporters are racist. I do believe all racists are Trump supporters. That's I'll go there. But I don't believe you're all racist. And I believe you think you have valid reasons. And one of the reasons that he threw out at me is that the fact that we're working with Saudi Arabia now, and in his view, we had never worked with Saudi Arabia before, and that we're containing terrorism by stopping the spread of Wahhabi Islamic fundamentalism. He seemed to believe that Trump had single-handedly done all this. And you're someone that I respect and respect your opinion on this. Is this something he should get credit for?
Well, I don't believe so, because that's not what's happened. I mean, on the surface, you know, they may say that. Having lived in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, which I did in 1983, totally familiar with it, 11 years in Congress of dealing with the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, and frankly, watching everybody kowtow to Saudi Arabia over the years. And now we took it to a new level, because at one point in time, Mohammed bin Salman, MBS, which I like to call him Mr. Bonesaw, would have been very, very vulnerable if not for Donald Trump. There was a point in time with the Khashoggi murder that the only thread that held MBS together was Donald Trump. And with Saudi Arabia, you don't get a thanks for that. You don't get them to curtail things. Look, Rick, they've done this faux freedom. Oh, a woman can drive. Wow, they really changed the world over there. You know, it's the same kingdom, the same aggressiveness, the same forcefulness, and they also helped to create, as we know, terrorism, no question about it, in the Mideast. So I don't think they've done anything except a great front, you know, when MBS came to the United States and the media said, oh, look at the great reformer. This is a guy that arrested his own mother and put her under house arrest to put her by the wayside so he could become king.
Wow.
So I don't think that anybody should be grateful for anything we have done for Saudi Arabia. You know, they only understand money and only understand trying to manipulate us.
Yeah, but, you know, we haven't heard the Wahhabism. We haven't heard that in a while. So, this guy was like, well, you know, we haven't had any terrorist attacks. There have been no terrorist attacks. And it's because of this. And he also pointed out that he believed that, you know, we've achieved Middle East peace, I guess, between Israel and the Arab nations, because they had, I guess he said, two major peace deals with the United Arab Emirates and Bahrain that recognized Israel's right to exist. And he said, you know, that's the reason. That's another reason he supports him. And I'm going, I don't remember it that way. Am I missing something?
Well, no. First of all, 19 Saudis flew on planes into our buildings, and we attacked Iraq. Okay? We took the Osama bin Laden family and flew them out of here without questioning. If somebody had done something so atrocious in America, they wouldn't let their family. They want to question their families. Not in this case. Within hours, they flew the families out without questioning them of what they would know. I mean, there's a whole history here. The 911 report. I mean, we can go on and on and on. The Saudis denied everything. Look, they are not doing Wahhabi terrorism. They promote others and fund groups that, you know. I mean, they help create ISIS. So, you know, I just don't think there's a great big Mideast peace applaud here either. Look, right, the United Arab Emirates and Bahrain came together and they did a deal with Israel. I understand that. Saudi Arabia is going to do the same thing. They had a secret meeting with Netanyahu in the last month. But that doesn't mean that's a peace accord for the Palestinians. That's a business accord, plus F-37 sold to the United Arab Emirates. I mean, this was a more of a business deal. Is it better than not, you know, happening? Sure. Any type of beginning of communication with Israel and the Arabs, but it simply is not a Palestinian-Israeli peace accord by any stretch of the imagination.
Now, and talking about the Saudis, though, I mean, you know, you got someone like Jared Kushner who's heavily invested there. I mean, you know, they're making money off it. So, of course, they're going to be nice to Saudi Arabia because there's tons of economic ties. In fact, I understand, Jared's heading back to the kingdom in the days ahead.
Well, you know, yes, and this is a great story, which, Rick, nobody, I've seen an article as of, I'm speaking to you right now, nobody related the reality But they just put the story about Kushner traveling to Saudi Arabia, and he's going to try to have Qatar make a last-ditch effort to, you know, make nice with Saudi Arabia, et cetera, because there's been this big rift between the country of Qatar and Saudi Arabia. Well, it's very interesting that Kushner did that because nobody from the media is asking him to talk about April of 2017 when Jared Kushner made a direct pitch to the Minister of Finance of Qatar in April of 2017 to try to get money for distressed assets in a company called the Kushner Companies for his father and he, and it was for their signature property, 666 Fifth Avenue, right? Well, the Qataris said no. And then guess what happened 1 month later, all right? 1 month later, Jared Kushner put up the deal that led to the blockage of Qatar by Saudi Arabia. So he's over there trying to undo the deal he did to block them. Now think about that for a second. And why is he doing that? Because, you know, business.
It all comes back to the money, doesn't it?
Sure. It's always been that way. And that's why I mentioned Trump Television, which, you know, maybe the Saudis need to have a Mideast bureau for, say, $50 million a year, you know, to have that bureau out there to report news.
So we should plan on this, and I'm actually gonna write this down because now the wheels are spinning. You think of all the attacks that they made against the Clinton Foundation, and now you're gonna turn this into a media organization. Wow, the grift you can get out of that.
Well, yes, and then also, I mean, it'll be a pain in the side, not for the Democratic side, but it will be for the Republican side because, say, Senator so and so. Doesn't do what Trump wants done on a certain piece of legislation. So Trump flies to that state. Say Rubio, for example, doesn't do what he wants. He flies to that state, has a rally of 5,000, 6,000 people, which he could do, maybe 9,000. And then all of a sudden it's on Trump TV. Here's the issue. You got to go after Rubio. He can put a lot of heat on people, quite a lot, and also influence quite a lot of votes. I mean, there's a lot of potential here. I'm talking on the business end.
No. Look, every con that's going to be possible, they will unearth. And to me, this whole push against the election is the next con, because I truly believe that they know they lost and there's no way they're going to overturn this. That they're just fundraising and list building off of this, so that they can seriously cash in on the other side. Like you said, you know, $5.99 a month.
Right, and, you know, there was a broadcast, I think it was yesterday, and one of the news reporters on her show, and I can't remember which reporter she was, she threw out a date of, well, Mr. President, December the 18th, and he said, well, it could be the 14th or the 18th of, you know, when this comes to some type of head. Well, it's not the 18th. She made a mistake, and he said the 18th. He didn't realize it's December 14th with the electors is when this all comes to an end. He knows that. He thought there was another date. But he himself, you know, wasn't just confused on this. He knows it's done.
Yeah, he knows.
But he's, you know, playing it to the end.
No. And look, I like what the Secretary of State of Georgia said. You know, it's basically all mirrors and games. They're putting out misinformation. They're basically lying, you know, to feed the fascination of these people who are, you know, want to believe.
But yet, at the other hand, he's like, okay, GSA kicks in, General Services Agency for Biden. Biden's getting the intel brief starting today. So he's doing that end of it. So nobody can say, well, you know, they're going to have the military drag him out of there. So he's doing part of that, but yet he's keeping up the front that, you know, we have a chance on this thing. Rudy Giuliani had a hearing. I think it was in some kind of created hearing
in Pennsylvania.
In Arizona. Pennsylvania. He had one in Arizona too.
Yeah.
I don't think it even got much attention, but I did watch the, you know, the clips today, and it was like nothing was presented. They had a guy that said, "Yeah, I saw something with data there." You know.
Yeah. No. Today was Arizona. You're right. Wednesday before Thanksgiving was here in Pennsylvania.
Oh yes, Pennsylvania.
And the guy who led the meeting, the guy who led the mock hearing, because it wasn't under oath, you know, Senator Mastriano, who's probably going to run for governor in 2022, actually tested positive for COVID right after that big fake hearing. So they had a nice super spreader event.
They didn't have masks in Arizona either.
No. Again, stupid is by party line, I guess. Mm-hmm. Crazy, crazy, crazy stuff.
Right.
And finally, I guess the last place I've been thinking of. Where'd I go? The people Biden's been rolling out. Have you been paying attention to the transition? Because evidently we're allowed to go forward. The transition is happening. Tomorrow, I guess they're going to get their first presidential daily briefings. So we're kind of moving, right?
Well, yes, they are. And what Biden is doing, which I think is going to be pretty secure, frankly, he's putting in people that have been around him. He's putting in people that have been some in the Clinton administration, some in the Obama administration, with his White House economic team he rolled out. He has Cecilia Rouse and Brian Deese as part of the economic team. Neera Tanden is with the progressive group, and she's going to head the Office of Budget Management. So he's putting people together. Now, his first economic advisor is Vice President also, I think it's Jared Bernstein.
Bernstein from EPI.
Is coming out into the, into the group. So he's, putting his pieces together, I think, pretty appropriately. And he's brought some people in that know him, people that know how to make the, the machinery roll. Now, there's going to be some debate of, Congressman Clyburn talked about some more black cabinet members. Some of the progressives want more, progressive cabinet members. That's fine. But he's put an internal team together. And that's what you need to do, because that internal team then works with people to put the cabinet together.
Yeah, I expect a smooth transition. I expect the wheels to run a little rounder and a little bit better on January 20th than they are on the 19th.
Yeah, you just got to be a little bit more careful with the dog. But, that's okay.
Did he kick the dog?
I said Fox News, the headline will be, did Biden kick the dog?
I had a friend that said, he kicked Trump's behind. That's how he broke his foot.
He's going to get a cat, too, by the way.
Oh, see, now, why would you want a mangy cat?
Well, I'm a dog person.
Me, too.
But the cat's all right. He's going to appeal to the cat people, too.
All right. I guess. As long as he doesn't pee on the rug.
There you go.
But, Bob, I appreciate the time. As always, great stuff.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you.
Good stuff. Our good friend Bob Ney, former congressman and one of my favorite political analysts. For me, one of the smartest guys in politics. Let's finish up with one of my favorite stories of the day. Evidently, Morristown, New Jersey. Been through there a number of times. Not a place I want to go very often. Evidently, the Policemen's Benevolent Association of New Jersey is suing the local police department. Their claims that police officers have been forced to meet ticket quotas. Yes, we love the ticket quota argument, but Morristown, New Jersey, they're saying that's what's going on. And the PBA has alleged that the illegal ticket quota system was enforced and that they are fighting back. So, hey, maybe this is the police saying we're on your side. Don't defund us, of which I am a dead set against defunding the police. I'm in favor of doing some smarter things, but defunding is just kind of stupid in my view. Just what is what it is. But we got lots to get to this week. The transition happening. There's lots going on with the election in Georgia. So much to get to, and so much fun and entertainment. I'm still waiting for Donald Trump to come out of his hole. He had no events today and none planned for tomorrow. We'll see where that takes us. If you missed any of today's program, TheRickSmithShow.com. That's where you go to get the podcast. The Rick Smith Show app on the smartphone. Take the program on the go, wherever you go. And as always, you can email me, Rick@TheRickSmithShow.com. Thanks so much for being here. Stay out of Morristown, New Jersey. We'll see you back here next time.
You've been listening to The Rick Smith Show. Email Rick at Rick at TheRickSmithShow.com. Until next time, this has been The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.